Yo, Chop, it's Pete. I'm uptown right now. I'm on my way to the West Bank to put a twist on this thing, you heard me?
Oh, yeah.
Ow.
Chop, chop. Steven, you know what that means? Chop, chop. She like chop style.
Yeah, man. I know what it means.
Yeah, you know what it means?
He's not referring to cooking, okay?
NOLA Trash Talk 222. I'm the Prophet Joshua.
No, Steve McGeezy.
It's January 12th, 2019, day before the Saints-Eagles divisional playoff game in the Superdome. So, of course, that has controlled the entire city. Lots of other things have gone down this week, but it's Saints-Eagles is all the rage. Did you know where my little intro thing was? The little movie clip in the very, very beginning of it? It involves an eagle, if you couldn't tell from the ca-caw.
That I wasn't listening to as much as I was waiting for the song.
Uh-huh.
Because I thought the song was interesting because Fly Like an Eagle is in Space Jam.
I did not use the R. Kelly version.
Obviously. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, which is also the R. Kelly version. Which have you seen? He's been in the news this whole week, and the documentary that's out on him is...
No.
Horrendous.
Stayed away from all things. Ooh. R. Kelly. It was almost Heroes, the opening little bit.
Oh, that's Chris okay. Well, Chris Farley, his last movie.
I love that movie. Steal the Eagle's eggs.
That's right. Okay, it's whenever people reference that movie, it's so obscure, but it's like one of those hidden gem classics. Is Almost Heroes.
It's wonderful. Well, we're gonna go ahead and wish the best to Police Chief Michael Harrison, heading for the greener pastures of Baltimore. Enjoy
what
that one.
A psycho.
Collecting a six-figure pension from New Orleans and then going to get a big-ass salary in Baltimore,
How long was he with NOPD?
28 years.
Oh, so he's getting that pension and now he's going over to Baltimore?
Yes.
Yeah, well, he's
not getting a full pension, but still getting
he's going to get paid 100 grand for sure.
So, I mean, I guess if you want to deal with the stress of having everyone blame you for the criminal activity in the city, I guess once you do it for 28 years, you can handle it anywhere. Go over to Baltimore and is like, hey, here's the guy that's supposed to fix everything.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'm all about just keep my head low.
Yeah. This, let me tell you, this dude is going to do press conferences and he is going to try to keep out of the limelight as much as possible. He's not going to do anything different in
he's an older
godforsaken
guy. He can't
city.
Do too much in Baltimore. I don't know how much his pension would be from there.
Exactly. But who could do anything better in Baltimore? Let them be. It is what it is.
But we're all anxiously awaiting to see who the new police chief will be in New Orleans. Do you know? Do you have insider information?
I do.
Yes. Spill it.
I was wishing it would be this one person who is awesome, who has a great relationship with me.
That's what I was hoping for somebody we have a great relationship with.
And
come
it
on.
Looks like he's being overlooked for it. So I can't name his name, but he was one of the candidates until about 10 days ago, which is unfortunate.
Oh God! You would have hooked it up, right? You know, if we had a direct line friendship with the police chief, Josh would have gotten out of any kind of trouble he got into.
I mean, it's weird.
Yeah, he would have.
Yeah, it's just weird because like you and I like we don't get in trouble.
Oh, well, maybe you don't get in trouble.
Breaking new law.
I try to get in trouble. Yeah. I'm like the villain in Last Action Hero, where he comes into the real world.
Throwback.
No, when the villain in Last Action Hero comes into the real world, he steps out of the movie into the real world and he kills a guy in the alleyway. He like shoots a guy dead.
Barely remember that movie.
And then he's standing because it's not a movie world; it's the real world. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "I've just killed a man, and I'm willing to confess." And no one's paying attention to him. That's me on a Friday night,
right.
Trying to get in trouble somewhere, anywhere, and no one's paying attention.
Because you walk everywhere now.
Oh, yeah. Living downtown has definitely made my life safer. So to speak. But I can still get in trouble. There's always been a weird bubble of like Josh staying out of trouble, like protection around me, despite everything. I walk into a bar a minute after the fight just ended. You know,
perfect.
I miss everything.
Perfect.
I guess it's all worked out for a reason. So, Police Chief Michael Harrison, who I mistakenly called Marvin Harrison.
Marvin on
Facebook until someone reminded me that was a Colts wide receiver.
Yeah, he was an incredible wide receiver.
So we fixed that. So he's off like Mary Poppins to Baltimore to go save another city. We can't get away from it. Saints Eagles has taken over. It's like the three things this week, besides Harrison, has been we're living in the shadow of the king cake. Like, king cakes everywhere. I know it's the first official king. I don't know why this has to be a season. But king cakes, number one. Number two, your sewage and water board guys that were,
oh my God,
quote unquote, sleeping on the job during that last major boil water advisory. And Saints Eagles. That's like, that's it.
But do you know how fortunate the sewage and water board is for this football game?
First of all, when that story came out, I didn't believe it at all.
I didn't either.
I thought
they
like
have video of people like Homer Simpson, like, and Mr. Burns,
right,
is looking
Sector
at him.
7G, their feet kicked up on like a control panel. Like, I don't know what
Smithers, who is this blithering idiot?
What?
Simpson, Homer Simpson.
I don't know what
eh?
The inside of the sewage and water board looks like, and like how comfortable their office spaces are. First of all, who sleeps at a job in the age of the internet? You can play with your phone infinitely. No one sleeps.
Yeah, but who sleeps
unless
at their
you're,
job?
Unless you're, of course, this is what I thought, but then it was like Teamster style for those who've worked on movies where a image came out of guys in sewage and waterboard trucks sleeping in their trucks, which obviously is not the same thing as guys at the station.
Right. So how did they directly correlate the two guys or two people sleeping to the boil water advisor?
I don't know. The picture of the guy sleeping in his truck went around. WWL shared it. It came out on the New Orleans Reddit, and then the sewage and waterboard announced that they were investigating the guy sleeping in his truck. And then, lo and behold, the reason sewage and water board gives to the city for the power failure where they weren't able to restore it quickly enough and they had to do the boil water advisories because two guys were sleeping. And I thought, well, that sounds like a lazy explanation. I thought maybe the city had a deadline to the sewage and water board, tell us like what happened and what caused this problem.
And
the sewage water board like had no idea what to tell the city. So they had to just like invent, some guys fell asleep.
Oh yeah,
that's what I thought immediately. But maybe two guys did fall asleep, and it was like a cartoon. Guys with their feet up, you know, snoozing in the middle of a shift.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know how many different jobs I've had, different types of jobs. I've never seen anyone sleep on a job other than Teamsters in their trucks on movies.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I have seen somebody when I worked as an arborist.
An arborist?
Yeah. That was,
you can't sleep on that kind of job, Steve.
Well, at lunch, we'd always take an hour lunch because, we should have not taken an hour lunch, but because, like, they're like, these guys are like company guys, and the company's like, you guys have to take an hour.
Right, right, right.
If it was a nice day out, because, you know, like, in the summertime in PA is not like the summertime here. So if it was a nice day out, guys would just eat their lunch quick and go find a shady tree and fall asleep like the Berenstain Bears. Yeah. So that's the only time I've seen people saying like they deserve the nap because, boy, that is brutal work. Dragging brush into the chipper, you know?
I mean, I did construction work for a long time. No, you didn't sleep on your lunch break. You mean you might have like wanted to.
Yeah, but construction is a little bit different than this tree shit. I mean, it wears you down. I mean, well, I'm talking about guys who are like 55.
Oh,
like they're older guys.
I work with some old people. No one slept in the middle of the day. Everyone, you work so you could get done and go home early.
I agree with that. I was always mad that we had to take these hour lunch breaks.
I was ordered once to sleep on the job. Actually, once again, on a movie, working for a famous director who was kind of a psychopath with a schedule where he didn't sleep, and I was his guy. And by virtue of that, the hours on my timesheet turned into the production office reflected that. I had a 100-hour week once, and the production the manager, refused to sign my timesheet. She said, I can't turn this in. I'll get fired. I was like, well, that's not my fucking problem, woman. I still don't get along with this lady. She's very locally famous in the not famous, but she's connected to pretty much every show in town. But yeah, I got shorted a whole bunch of hours on that, and I was told to sleep in my car because he was a psychopath who never slept. So it was like, while on set, I was told to sleep in the vehicle so I could get sleep because they didn't feel comfortable with me working so many hours and then driving the director home. and then wow. getting like 2 hours off and turning around and picking him up again.
So what ended up happening?
And they knew this in advance because I had a split this job with another guy because the hours were so ridiculous. So we kind of had like a 10 days on, 10 days off kind of schedule, flip-flop, where we'd have to trade off on the show. So I was told to sleep on the job in that scenario, and it didn't work. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't in the middle of a film set. I can't just like recline my seat and fall asleep in a car.
No.
It doesn't.
Absolutely not.
There's too much going on, and then you're thinking the crew's going to look at you sleeping in your car.
Yeah,
you're going to be that guy? No, it doesn't shake out like that.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. That's not going to work. So wait up. I'm sorry. Did she sign your timesheet, or how did you figure that out?
No, they shorted me hours.
How many hours did they short you out? Like 40?
No, they wouldn't give. They gave me, I think, 90 on that one out of 100. So they shorted me 10 hours of pay.
Well,
and then they said we'd hit you back with a fuel reimbursement check that never came.
Yeah, that check was in the mail, huh?
Yeah, check was in the mail.
Three greatest lies. The check's in the mail.
Something. Anyone who's listened to All the Trash Talk for a long time knows that my historical. I've gotten away from bitching and moaning about the production industry because, you know, obviously not in it anymore.
Yeah, and it's been so long since you've.
It's like if I was in a happy marriage and then someone asked me to bitch about my ex-wife, I'd be like, it's so long ago. I don't care.
I completely understand that. When they were interviewing LaToya Cantrell, for the sewage and water board thing, it's the look on her face is so funny. She is just like the one thing
regarding is, what is especially
the sleeping guys.
The
look on her face is like the one thing. Can you guys just take care of this?
I do like that footage of her. I think at the last game, wilding out in the stands.
Yeah, did I send you that?
I can't remember if you did.
It was randomly on Twitter, but it never made like mainstream news. Like
I was thinking, like in all those years, I never saw Mitch Landry do that.
No,
and I just like no. So things have gotten better in New Orleans.
Yeah, and he doesn't come down with the peons.
Not.
No, he would never
Royal
do that.
Royal family doesn't mix with the...
Yeah, because I was showing that to my wife, and she was impressed, too, that she was like, oh, wow, with the commoners.
Do you think there's any correlation with Police Chief Michael Harrison leaving right after the New Orleans had the lowest murder rate since the 70s?
Do I think there's any correlation?
Or correlation with that and correlation with the new mayoral administration of Cantrell? Where he started, where basically LaToya Cantrell came in with the new regime, air quotes, and he started spying new jobs.
Well, I think that certainly there's some politics going on there.
Because nobody just gets a phone call and says, hey, you want to be the new police chief of this other major American city?
Yeah.
Yeah, this thing has been in play for a long, 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 long time.
Right.
So I'm thinking maybe when Cantrell got elected and she moved in, that's probably when Harrison was spying, or maybe before that. Maybe in the midst of like the flooding disaster, or even before that, some other Landry scandal, that Harrison was always looking for a way out. You know, had the feelers out there.
Right. I mean, it's certainly
and it was a complete accident in the meantime that the crime rate went down.
Selling the stock is high, for sure. I mean, he definitely got really lucky that our crime rate is the lowest since, what, the 70s?
I was trying to do an infographic for NOLA Trash Talk. I was doing my best due diligence to put this together to correlate crime rate statistics with Saints winning and losing seasons. To see if there was any type of like pattern.
Right.
There's none whatsoever.
That'd be the same correlation that guy I was talking to you off the air about his like just absurd stats, like 63% of the time when they run the ball this way, this happens. These stupid Eagles fans are hilarious.
I understand. There's mathematical patterns in the universe to everything.
There's none of that shit matters for a football game.
But sometimes for football games, yeah.
The better
football
team.
Games will hinge on a ref making a bad pass interference call that happens 40 yards downfield, so spot of the foul.
Whenever there's...
It invalidates an entire drive. Mm-hmm. Or
yeah, whenever there's human error involved, you can't. The statistics get completely thrown out of the window.
Yeah, we'll get on to the last like 10 minutes of the show. We'll get on to the Saints-Eagles stuff, but we will jump into some chopper style. Chop. Because today, just came out actually, Choppa remixed Choppa Style with a happy birthday lyrics to Drew Brees instead. As Drew Brees is turning 40.
When did he turn 40? Oh, this week? Yeah.
This coming week, I believe. And so they have a remix Choppa Style for Drew Brees, different lyrics, all very rah, rah, rah Saints lyrics. With a whole bunch of cool. They even referenced Do the Sean Payton in them. which I thought was going to die with last season.
Well, since the Eagles game that I was at when they started doing this, I was with my buddy who grew up in New Orleans, and you know, we looked at each other and said, "Boy, I haven't heard that song in forever because it came out when I was a senior in high school." Yeah, senior in high school, and it was really popular when we were freshmen at the Boot. You wouldn't know that because
I went to the Boot.
Oh yeah,
the Boot was the first bar I went to.
You were grinding with them girls
to college.
That thing would go. That thing came on.
Yeah, that's
on
what
the
I was
boot.
Doing. I was 17, Steven, grinding away with ladies at the Boot.
That thing came on, and that was crazy. But when this whole time, because like every Sunday, I was just typing in Twitter, Choppa Style, because I wanted to see like the different angles that people had. And then I listened to the song, and I was thinking to myself, boy, it's a good thing that nobody knows what the hell he's saying. And then, sure enough, we had some beta male write this article about how in the Me Too era that this is so inappropriate and blah, blah,
blah. It wasn't
blah,
like that.
Blah.
It wasn't. It was more of like, hey.
But does any, like, is like, does anybody, yes.
Grandma in Metairie, do you not know what Choppa Style means?
But it doesn't
matter.
We'll
break it down for
you. Like I said, like, it doesn't matter what. People are just enjoying it, so let us enjoy something. And I guess that there has to be some.
Oh God! In the article, they mentioned Drew Brees' three young boys cavorted to Choppa Style in pajamas and Santa hats at home on Christmas Eve.
Yes, Keith Sparrow—that's his name—and look at him. Take a look.
I'm glad he took this mission on.
Oh, what a mission!
Trying to explain what Choppa Style means.
Trying to explain
to
what machine guns mean.
It's a lot. I think everyone knows Choppa is AK-47.
Yeah.
That's fine. But that's not what Choppa Style is.
But wait up. But Choppa Style is like the motorbikes with the choppers, like when they go like that, right?
No.
What is it?
Kind of like that. You gotta. It's a little bit more sexual than that, Steven.
Oh,
Think about that rat-a-tat-tat.
Because he goes, now do the choppa walk. And then like the girls are just like twerking and stuff.
Yeah, a bend over.
Have you seen the music video?
Bend over, head between your legs,
that's
touch
right.
your toes.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. Think about it. Chop, chop. There's clapping in the song,
everybody. That's right.
Come on.
Yeah, that definitely is a sexual song, but who cares? It, like, New Orleans rap is never for the lyrics. It's all about the beat. All about
Screw
the beat.
That noise. Always about the lyrics. Pre-Katrina, we used to have parties at my friend's condo where we would print up all the 2000, late 90s, 2000 rappers. We'd get, you know, BG and Choppa, big timers, Soulja Slim and Master P and all that. We'd print up their lyrics, and then we would hang out, and our one friend played classic guitar, like could just do great classic guitar, you know, with the long fingernails and all that noise. So he would play classic guitar, and we would do spoken word NOLA rapper lyrics over them.
You don't have any like footage of that, do you?
No, we would just do it, just as a goof out on the condo or on the rooftop at the place on St. Charles. And this is pre-Katrina. We were doing this.
I was gonna say, what year was that? 2004.
2000. Yeah, and then we also would like binge watch New Orleans Exposed, which is one of the if you've never seen New Orleans Exposed, one of the greatest documentaries ever done about anything ever. But unfortunately, it is. It's bookended by Katrina, so it's a total like time capsule right there, early 2000s, pre-Katrina New Orleans.
Right. That the other thing about that is one of my roommates was a freshman year was a trumpet player.
But I want to point out that at the time, 2005, I was working on Bourbon Street 19. I had BG and Soulja Slim. This is right after Soulja Slim was killed. Flyers and posters and shit all over my apartment.
Why did you like Soulja Slim so much?
I would come home from work at the time, And I would just like have a marathon on BET of Rhapsody the Basement because I was just so amused at I was figuring out in my spare time the formula behind a hit rap song.
Because, at that period of time?
Yeah.
You just need a hook, a beat and a hook.
That was, and you know what all the hook was? I've said this a million times. Just find a colloquialism, a saying, a slang that hadn't been used yet.
Right. Look at the movie Hustle and Flow basically like breaks all this out. Like, have you seen Hustle and Flow?
I have
right?
not seen Hustle and Flow.
Are you serious? Amazing movie. Amazing.
But no, I would watch the countdowns on Rhapsody of the Basement for those old enough to remember that on BET. And I saw the patterns. I was like, oh shit, I could write these rap songs. I could organize a whole system where I get a rapper and.
Okay. So your assignment is definitely to watch Hustle and Flow. You're not going to waste your time. Trust me. You're going to like it. Also, 3-6 Mafia won an Oscar for that. Best song in a movie. There's a scene in there where Terrence Howard is like trying to get a beat going and he's trying to get his music out there. So he brings in the nerdy guy from Road Trip, the thin guy, the skinny guy.
Yeah.
He's in there. And this black comedian who is in a bunch of stuff. If you know, I can't remember his name, but anyway, like he is making the beat and then doing the hook and then he's like, and they're like, oh, like that's how it goes. And like he's playing and then they hook it. Like he's playing a keyboard and they're hooking it. And it's like an interesting little 2-minute scene, and you're like, oh, that's how this is done.
Well, look at Choppa Style. Okay, obviously Choppa is slang for AK-47 before it was Choppa Style. Okay, you know, Choppa City, New Orleans. Oh, actually, I had a rock song back in the day called Choppa City, because I was trying to combine rock with the New Orleans ghetto thing way back when. Never recorded it. So Choppa Style. How do you think? Look at this. You're sitting in the studio. How'd that date last night go, Steven? Steven is a large black rapper in this story, okay? And then you like, oh, dude, y'all hitting it from the back, you know, Choppa Style, clap, clap. Right there. And then you guys like, you know what? Yo, throw a beat down. I think we got something here. All it is just take some new slang term that comes out and just grab it before the next guy does and put it to a beat.
And
they get your three best friends to do verses. Done.
So the song in Hustle and Flow is It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp. And the hook is,
I remember that.
Yeah. You know, it's hard out here for a pimp. Ain't no. And yeah. Like, there's a dude that's the song that they're doing the hook to. But there's a couple of good ones in that movie. You'd like that movie a lot.
You could just go around New Orleans, bad, worst, poorest neighborhoods, record conversations, then cherry pick phrases you hear from people and then put that to beats. I mean, I'm serious. Like, everywhere else, it's, you know, it's organic over there. We'll be evil white guys that make this like a music factory.
I remember when Bling Bling made it in Webster's Dictionary, and I that's when I thought the world was over, because, you know, Cash Money, they like had that song Bling Bling, or BG did, and finally it just came into our colloquial language, and Webster's, boom, put it in a dictionary. Bling Bling.
But every year there's new slang.
Right.
Especially with the internet and memes and all that noise. So
it's cray AF.
Yeah, you can. Ugh. AF, yeah. Ugh. When did that start? I
hate when people do that.
But just go find the things that haven't been used yet in songs. Done. Super simple. Anyway, so back to this New Orleans Advocate article about Choppa Style. Of course, the writer trying to explain Choppa Style to, you know, the white folks in the 200 section of the Superdome.
And he even references BG's Choppa City record.
Yeah, Chopper's also a motorcycle or helicopter. Yeah, I don't think they're doing Get to the Choppa is not with this Choppa Style.
No, that's not what it is at all.
I like how that he mentions that first before in street slang, Choppa or Chopper can also refer to an automatic or semi-automatic weapon. First of all, no. Is an AK-47 is a Choppa.
Right.
That it's not any weapon. It's an AK.
Okay.
That's good. But Choppa Style has nothing to do with guns or violence. Instead, much like much of Bounce, it is an exaggerated celebration of the pursuit of sex. And see, this is where he blurs the explanation, because it's not that. It's about sex.
Right.
It's not the pursuit of sex.
I know. It's just the explanation.
When you're hearing this, Steven, is this the pursuit of sex?
No, that's
or,
just...
Is this sex?
Explicitly what it is. There's no... implications, there's no anything.
It is unabashedly and frankly sexual.
This is on the Advocate.
It sounds like
if people still read newspapers, I think six or seven people do. We could go probably find one of these on someone's stoop somewhere. We could have this article framed of them explaining Choppa stuff.
Like this article, it's like the
I love the article.
The Dave Chappelle white character. You know how he does
yes,
the white character?
Dave Chappelle's white character.
Him reading this is how I imagine
we could have photoshopped that guy's face as article by this dude.
Yes, and I would have been like, oh, that makes sense.
Dave Chappelle in white guy makeup reading this article would be worth whenever he'd charge us to do that.
Yeah. I love it. And it peaked at number 49 on the R&B, national R&B charts. It's like, it only was known here. That's it. Like, there was no national mention of this stupid song.
That's R&B charts? Wow. Choppa's now 38 years old, by the way.
He's only 38?
He's only 38. He looks older, I'm sure.
So he was 22 when that came out?
Were you not doing Choppa Style at 22?
I was 17 or 18. I thought he was...
I'm just going to keep clapping my hands.
Hold up.
I'm going to keep going, but continue.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Just read the...
The opening... Master P, of course, does that opening thing where he says he's going out to the West Bay to put a twist on this thing you heard. Steven, have you ever put a twist on something other than Wonder Bread?
No.
No? You never put a twist on something?
Never put a twist on something. Oh, Percy.
Okay. His twist arrives in the song's sometimes nonsensical third verse. It's sensical. Believe me. In which P references Indonesia, Gucci sandals, pancakes, a ghetto Cinderella, and, indicative of the song's age, disgraced televangelist Jim Baker. Baker, I think that's misspelled, by the way, in the article.
I don't think it has two Ks. Yeah. They should have just put 3 Ks in there for the complete misspelling.
Continuing with the article. But mostly the verses are devoted to Choppa bragging and serving up shout-outs and sexual references in the grand tradition of New Orleans bounce. In the first verse, he raps, "You want to shake it like a dog and do it all night, now assume the position and get it right." Fantastic.
Oh, and he has to clarify.
This is the cutesiness of the article says. By position, he's not referring to a spot on the football field.
It's like, this is the kind of stuff that makes me cringe as a white person. I'm sorry.
I can't tell if it's earnest or he's being cutesy.
I don't know either, but it is cringeworthy. If somebody was reading this out loud on the news.
Our sharing of this article, too, probably got him, 10,000 more views or reads on his article. So, I mean, he can't be totally, the writer or the Advocate can't be totally mad about us, enjoying this little bit of journalism. They also have to throw in the Choppa Style predates the Me Too movement by more than 15 years, as if anything is related. People don't do a Choppa Style anymore in the Me Too movement, Steve.
I'm embarrassed to be here reading this with you, to know that this, to read this in its proper fashion, and the little cutesy thing of it is,
We should do a song called Me Too Style, where it's just people in sweaters drinking tea.
Like, really looking hipstery.
And having absolutely nothing to
non-binary,
do with
sex. Non-binary.
Yeah.
Ugh. Sorry.
That's perfect. Non-binary style.
There you go.
So, yeah, Choppa Style also seems to celebrate strong women. Oh, yeah, with the shout-out section in the song. If you're an independent woman, holla. If you got your own house, holla. That's all. That's fine. Yeah, that doesn't really have to do anything with Choppa Style. But, I guess he wants to nail the chick, Choppa
Style,
who's got her own house.
There was,
there's actually a good line. If you treat your kids right, holla. So I guess that's the part that Drew Brees
that Chris Rock got a hold of. He's like, oh, I take care of my kids. Motherfucker, you're supposed to take care of your kids.
Yeah.
Don't brag about that shit.
Congratulations.
I go to class. Motherfucker, you're supposed to go to class.
Yeah, so he does little shout-outs. Yeah, if you take care of your kids, holla. Shout-outs to independent players. Second verse goes full on bounce with the walkity walk with it, shakity shake with it. And then the article just kind of ends there.
Great.
They don't really ever address.
Do you know what the beautiful?
They never really address hitting it from the back, Steve.
Right. Do you know what the
beautiful? Kind of wanted to, what I want. I thought as I scrolled down the page, I was like, okay, the next article or the next paragraph's clearly going to get to the part where we hit it from the back.
Nope, we got to keep it PG. So. What is beautiful about this is that
everything
there won't be a feminist protest about this song. There won't be any of that.
Now the song's really got it bulletproof with this. If you're an independent woman,
if you want to see some backlash from Saints fans or anybody that's loving what's going on right now, watch a protest about this song happen, and you will see.
There
a
ain't gonna be no protest.
I know. I just would wish,
especially if the Saints beat the Eagles tomorrow.
I would wish. I would pray that there would be, just to see how embarrassing it would be for these stupid people. There was when we won.
These hypothetical stupid people that don't exist. As
when, yeah, I know. When we beat the Steelers, there was a video of them playing Chapa style outside the dome, and that mob of people, and everybody's just wilding out. Black people, white people. It would be interesting to
hit from the back. Literally them, brings people together.
Have them protest that, and then you would say, "Well, this one thing that like brought together like a community of people from different races and ethnicities, and you're just going to bitch about because it was the lyrics were 16 years ago." And even then, they still have lyrics and rap
really?
Today that are
yeah. It's that not, are, the whole issue of it being 16 years ago, as if that
nothing
was
to do with anything.
If that was a different age. Really isn't. Not at all.
You haven't told rappers to be.
I mean, how many shows
PC how many ever? Concert, they're scared.
How many concerts or sporting events lately did Manny Fresh show up and do the halftime thing where they do a medley of songs that literally everyone knows?
Right.
There's no time gap. It's all this. I said this for years. Since the internet really went mainstream, like high speed internet at 2001, 2002, when like a big chunk of the world got on it, culture, and especially then with, let's say 9/11 too is another touchstone, culture froze. There were no more fads. Mm-hmm. Like everything kind of just, calcified right there. And we kind of live in a loop now of like the same things over and over and over. No, nothing other than like our yearly technology like increase of, oh, iPhone 11 now. Nothing really is the people that were popular 16 years ago. They don't have the kind of backlash that we looked at when we were in the year 2002.
Backlash yet.
No, but they like the way the early 2000s, if we go back to 02 when Chapa Style came out, the way those people look back at like 80s, like MC Hammer, as like, well, that was forever. That was a different universe. You know, those people are irrelevant now. We don't have that. Cause we got, obviously Chapa Style is the song for the Saints this season in 2019, the playoffs. In 2002, I don't think you would have gotten an 80s song from a New Orleans rapper. I can't even think of one from the 80s that would have been for the Saints in 2002.
Nothing.
Or MC Hammer's You Can't Touch This.
Yeah, they're playing Thunderstruck, okay? In the Dome Patrol.
Really? Would they be playing?
I don't know what they were playing in the 90s, but there's no New Orleans rappers that were getting any
but I mean,
time
but,
in the
but
Dome.
I just see it as like culture kind of froze right around that time.
It did.
Just nothing's really.
Did you see the article or the TV interview of the?
Especially in the age, one more thing, of digital cameras, where once the quality of photos leveled out, we're going to get to a point in the future where we look back like two decades, the picture won't look old anymore.
No,
it'll look crisp and clear, just like it was the other day. Whereas for someone who's like, you know, was going out in the 90s or the 80s, they got Polaroids and shit. Nick, you can tell it's an older photo.
Of course.
We're going to get to a point where 20 years ago is a, you know, megapixel fucking picture of you with your buddies that could have been taken that night.
Yeah.
So that kind of like messes with the perception of, well, that was a different time.
Yeah.
That's just one.
It's a good observation. I just, I was wondering if you saw the interview of the reporter going to Chapa's house.
No.
Oh, are you serious?
I'm glad Chapa has a house, though.
Oh, you have to watch this. It was on WWL or, so she goes to his house and she's like talking to him and they're looking at his, I think his record went platinum maybe. But then he teaches her how to do the Chapa style in the interview. Very funny.
Oh, that's such a daytime TV.
How did you miss this? The other thing was this. I caught Chapa in a lie.
Okay. Ooh.
Okay.
Got him.
Now, I don't know. You can go on New Orleans Reddit. There might be some shit out there about this. I don't know. But my ears perked up when on the interview with the news, he said, yeah, I was at the Washington Redskins game, and they started playing my song, and it was very nostalgic to me. Dude, it was the Eagles game. Because the very next clip is them showing us dancing with in the Eagles.
But they were playing that before, though.
No, probably. They just started it at the Eagles game. So
no, I thought they were playing it before.
I don't think so.
I think it was a little bit older into the season.
Well, then maybe the news screwed up, and like as he said, like, oh, it's the Redskins game, and then they played the Eagles footage. It's like, why would you do that?
I think they were playing at the Eagles game because they'd already played it, and it was kind of picking up.
Right, but as a producer, why would you reference an Eagles game when he's talking about the Redskins game? You see what I'm saying?
Oh. I don't know if that's a lie per se. He could have heard the song at the Redskins game. We played the Redskins at home, didn't we?
Yeah, it's when Drew Brees broke the record.
That's right. Correct. Yes.
And I don't recall them playing the song. That's all.
Well, I think it hadn't built up the traction yet, but I think it's...
Right, because it was way earlier in the season. This built up in like November.
Yeah, so he could have been at the game and heard it then. You know, it could have been a thing.
I don't think he was there.
Okay.
I just think it's funny.
Well, speaking of the late 90s, you know, and Master P and the Golden Age.
It's one of my favorite songs ever when I was a kid.
Mike,
I got the hook up. Holla if you hear me.
Yeah. Have you seen Michael Thomas' shoes?
No.
For the game? Have you seen the shoes yet?
No.
Folks?
I love how he's embracing New Orleans culture. I mean, if it...
New Orleans Advocate posted this. You can find it online real easy. Michael Thomas shows off his custom I got the hook up cleats before the Saints-Eagles game. He put them on Twitter. I Got the Hookup was also a 1998 movie with Master P.
I've seen it. It's about cell phones.
About the cell phones. So that's an important part of this, Steven.
Oh, no. Oh, that is so awesome. And they're Jordans, too.
So Michael Thomas's shoes are basically the movie poster art for I Got the Hookup from 1998.
That is so awesome. That's the movie poster right there.
Yeah, yeah, with AJ and Master P, who are the two leads in the movie.
I live my life as a thug, but girl, you know I need you and every woman that I meet. Damn, didn't want to be you. It ain't no limit to what we could do. Holla if you hear me, girl, you know I'm coming through.
Damn.
I know the whole song.
Jesus.
I know. I'm not looking at lyrics.
Yeah, no, he's not. I can vouch. But if you want to see the shoes, I mean, you'll probably see him when you watch the game tomorrow. They'll zoom in on his I Got the Hookup shoes.
It's weird that you'd have custom because they're custom, it doesn't matter. I was thinking, like, dude, you got to break those in, stupid me. They're already broken in. They're custom.
You know what this means, though? For an NFC divisional game, and Michael Thomas is rocking I Got the Hookup cleats from Master P's 1998 movie. What's he wearing in the NFC championship game?
That's got to be a uniform violation, too.
What's he wearing at the Super Bowl?
Ugh.
What's worth it for the team to advance just to know what the cleat game's going to be?
Make him say, huh?
How about Chabastot with some AKs on these shoes?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I love Michael Thomas. I don't know where he's from. He's certainly not from here. But just embracing, like, the Joe Horn thing when he did the cell phone thing.
Yeah, Michael Thomas is like
dude, you got to dig.
He's trapped in time back in
only Saints fans remember that.
He's like trapped in time in late 90s, early 2000s.
Right. I love it.
You got to go to Michael Thomas's house. He's going to have like an N64.
It's like when he was born, too. He's like born in like 96.
He's one of those guys.
He might be like 94, but
he's got,
I love it.
He's frozen in time.
That's, I love it.
In those formative years for him. That's
dude. I him with the cell phones. Could you imagine just seeing? Well, you and I would never be there, but that.
I
random,
mean, clearly, it's also a reference to cell phones with the flip phone thing.
It's two for one.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, like, hit and run liquor where there's a cell phone store, and like Michael Thomas is walking in there? What are you doing?
I hope his next one is an official Verizon Wireless with James Earl Jones on his cleats from those earlier Welcome to Verizon Wireless.
Right.
Which I hope James Earl Jones got paid a lot for.
Yeah, man. Those are some serious cleats right there.
Yeah, you can spy the cleats on Twitter. He put them out there. They're also on the Advocates page.
Dang.
Yeah.
I love it, man. I love it.
Don't forget to tweet at Michael Thomas at Can't Guard Mike.
Another just a beautiful Twitter name. It's interesting because when he was at Ohio State, I mean, he must have been incredible, but I never heard of him until we got him. I never heard of him.
We don't follow Ohio State.
Right. I mean, and Ohio State is not, they're not crazy known for their receivers, but we actually have two of their receivers, Ted Ginn and Michael Thomas, which is
and Lattimore and Eli Apple.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We have a whole...
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is they're known for their defense. We're known for taking their defensive guys. Malcolm Jenkins.
Folks, remember as well, if the Saints beat the Eagles tomorrow in the Superdome, Miller Lite is buying the first round of brews at, I guess, select locations in the French Quarter.
How does that work? Just serve this keg of Miller Lite till it runs out?
You know it costs the company like 50 cents or 20 cents for a draft Miller Lite.
Yeah.
What's funny about this, though, is that Miller Lite is not the official beer of the New Orleans Saints.
Bud Light is.
Bud Light, yeah. Dilly Dilly.
Yeah, do you think they did that on purpose?
I don't know. I hope, yes.
I like
if it's on purpose. I like if it's an accident.
I think it's on
purpose.
If
you're a major beer company like Miller Lite, you got to do something for the NFL playoffs, obviously.
But
marketing-wise.
Right, but it's whoever thought of that is like, we should do this before Bud Light does.
Yeah, Bud Light definitely dropped the ball on offering a free, but maybe Bud Light also knew that, like, shit, our stuff's all over the Superdome. We're not going to offer free draft Bud Lights to
on Bourbon Street
if they win. Well, I mean, do they stop serving alcohol at the Dome at, like, the fourth quarter?
They do.
Okay, so that doesn't work if the team wins. Can you imagine if they announce in the Superdome, if the Saints win, vendors will serve a free draft Bud Light? Literally. Oh. Everybody in the Dome would just go get their free Bud Light.
It would be such a conflict because you would need your crowd in the stadium, but they would all be in the breezeway
when the game's over and officially the Saints have won and all the vendors are giving away one Bud Light, and how are you tracking that guy hadn't got his free one already and he's gotten number two. So, yeah, Miller Lite, they don't have a presence in the Dome, do they? Or can you still get a Miller Lite?
You can get a Miller Lite. They're just not the official beer of the NFL or the Saints.
And I think this is only limited to bars in the French Quarter.
It is.
Though also...
Select bars.
Another, the Philly location.
The Swamp.
The Philly location for games for you Philly fans, Liberty Cheesecakes on...
Cheesecakes,
not cheesecakes. Cheesecake sounds good, though.
Do you know...
On Ferret, they're also offering free...
that's my boy who owns that place.
Yeah, they're offering free draft beer, a free draft Abita, or maybe Miller Lite as well, if you go up to the counter and say the Falcons blew a 25-point lead.
It's hilarious.
So you can also score free beer. But that's also going to be where Philly fans are hanging out,
that
too.
That guy, Mike, is from Philly. He went to St. Joe's Prep, and he also went to Tulane. And I'm happy that his cheesesteak place is thriving because... when he opened it, I thought it was going to fail like everything else. So,
I think you got for a while, Ferret Street was just like the popular foods from other cities.
Do you know what the Philly bar in this city is?
No.
Wits Inn.
Wits Inn. Right here in Mid-City, down the street.
Wits Inn is the Philly bar of the city because I didn't know that until I had a Philly friend here. And he was like, oh, where can watch the game? I'm like, Wits Inn. And sure enough, the Eagles weren't playing us. They were just...
I was on Bourbon Street last night, saw lots of Eagles jerseys.
Yeah, there were like 40 Eagles fans in Wits watching the Eagles game.
Okay, we're down to the last minute here, Steven. So it's time for endless conjecture. Who wins in the Superdome tomorrow, Saints or Eagles? With all your wisdom.
I mean, I got to say the Saints because we just are a better team than them statistically. And we have all the rest, everything going for us. So, I mean.
You don't believe in the magic of Nick Foles?
Not at all.
Okay.
I believe in the financial the incentive he has. Every game he wins, he gets $1 million plus his playoff bonus.
Who leaves the Eagles after this season? Carson Wentz or Nick Foles?
Neither. Carson Wentz.
They're
is
not
under,
keeping both those guys on the.
Carson Wentz is under rookie contract, and Nick Foles doesn't care how much he makes.
No way.
He doesn't want to be.
No way they both stay there.
He doesn't want to be a starting quarterback. He already said that.
There's just
he could have left after this year. He could have left before this year.
The call for money would be too great. There's no way both.
He already said he doesn't care about money. It's insane.
No way. Okay. Well, of course, I'm going to predict the Saints to go ahead and.
Yeah.
I think it'll be obviously closer than last time. I actually gave my prediction on the radio this past week. But you know, as per usual, Saints games where the stakes are high, final possession it will come down to. Generally.
Sure. I'm just glad we're not playing the Bears. Fuck them.
Oh, I wasn't scared of them either. What? Yeah. Okay. What? It's the Eagles. Saints will win. Everyone will have a happy Sunday. I'm Joshua, or the Prophet Joshua, with NOLA Trash Talk.
And I'm Steve McJesus.
And we'll see you next week for the NFC Championship.